The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. 1 second. Yeah, like, I listen to Nicole Sandler. Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show? I forgot to turn the computer on. Let me just walk over here and I'll boot up my computer because I don't want... Oh, crap, I just... Never mind, it's okay, I got another one. Leave it there, the cat will get it.
Got a little tune here, a little song to sing for you. That Nicole, she does something. She's really there and does things.
Nicole Sandler Show, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a good indication of how I'm feeling today. Welcome to it. The Supreme Court is done, thankfully. And the one good moment from today... it was the swearing in of Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is now Justice Jackson.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Ketanji Brown Jackson, do solemnly swear.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
And that I will and well she and will. Faithfully discharge
she absolutely
the duties
will.
Of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you very much. And
but they're
I'll
not
turn
done.
Over to Justice Breyer.
Because that was the federal oath. And now Breyer
the
gives
the judicial oath.
The judicial
will you
oath.
Raise your right hand, please?
Okay.
Thank you. I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice.
That I will administer justice
without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And do equal right.
And do equal right
to the poor and to the rich.
To the poor and to the rich.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially
discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform
all the duties.
All the duties
incumbent upon me.
Incumbent upon me
as an associate justice
okay,
of the Supreme
never ends.
Court of the United States.
As an associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Under the Constitution,
it's only,
the Constitution
it doesn't end.
And laws of the United States.
Okay.
And laws of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Yay! Okay. It's about fucking time. Especially considering she should have been there, you know, instead of Neil Gorsuch. Just saying. Should have been there instead of Brett Kavanaugh. Certainly should have been there instead of Amy Coney Barrett. Those cretins, those horrible pieces of shit who forget about the Supreme Court. There's nothing supreme about it. We're now calling it the Extreme Court because it is not supreme. Today they said, see that planet you got there? You like that tough shit? Because now... You know, you have the Environmental Protection Agency. they say we fart in your general direction. They don't give a shit. They said the EPA has, I'm paraphrasing here, no jurisdiction to regulate greenhouse gases coming from power plants. It's not like we have a planet burning or anything. So welcome to the show. Now you know what kind of a mood I'm in today. But I'll tell you what, I really have to start with an apology because I was in a mood yesterday too. Frankly, I've been in a mood all week. Wonder why. Jean, I think it was caller Jean yesterday, and I don't remember where he was calling from, but he called in to tell me about a book by a guy named Eric Fromm, and I was very dismissive of him, and that was rude. and I shouldn't have been rude to him. There are plenty of people that I'm rude to on purpose. Gene, if it was Gene, whoever it was who told me about this book, I told you I'm not going to search it and read it because I'm just trying to be honest. But I didn't have to be rude. All right? So I apologize. Sincere apology. Okay. Now, I don't even know where to begin. So we did the Ketanji Brown Jackson, thank God. Can I tell you the latest thing I'm pissed off about? So it's like this. I've got a whole laundry list of items to share with you today and things we should be angry about. But let me start off with this one. We, you and me, the progressives, we do something that on the right they don't do. We're honest. We tell the truth. So I'm on Twitter today, as I tend to be occasionally, and I come across a tweet from a very popular Twitter account called Occupy Democrats. Right? Occupy Democrats. Occupy Democrats, it seems to have grown out of sort of nowhere over the last year. They've taken off to the point where they have a massive amount of followers. And I thought that they were doing good. 394,000 followers. It says they're a media and news company. Media and news company. However, news implies facts. It's Fox and the idiots on the right who make shit up, who lie about it all and call it news and then point to us and say they're fake news. When in reality, they're the ones who are making shit up. You've heard it before.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
Right, they do. So we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. I've told you a million times, if I ever get anything wrong, and I do, I'm human, I occasionally get things wrong, then I want you to tell me so I can correct it. Because the last thing I want to do is put forth bad information. That's not what we do. That's what they do. So I read Occupy Democrats. They sent this tweet out. It's a pinned tweet today. Breaking news, they write. Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell announces that he will resign if he doesn't become Senate Majority Leader after November's midterm election. And then they ended this tweet the way they end all of their tweets, saying, retweet if you would love to see Mitch McConnell resign. First of all, stop that. Don't ask people to retweet you. If they want to retweet you, they'll retweet you. Asking them to do it is just creepy. But anyway, I saw that. And then I saw another that they followed it up with. If you're thrilled that Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell just announced that he will resign if he doesn't become Senate Majority Leader and hope to see him resign, please retweet and follow us for more breaking political news. It's not news.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit. So I tweeted back at them, proof? Where did you see this? I can't find it anywhere because I saw it. I said, really? And I Googled, Mitch McConnell resign, if not Senate Majority Leader? Then I just did a news search for Mitch McConnell. There's nothing there. I've asked, of course, of the last hour, please, where did you get this? If it's true, you have a source. Give us the source. Don't ever believe anything that anybody puts on Twitter or elsewhere without source material. If they can't cite a source and you can't find any reference to it anywhere, then chances are pretty damn good that they made it up. They made it up! We don't do that! Occupy Democrats, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You're no better than they are. Now you take us down to their level. So fuck you. Fuck you very, very much. Told you I'm in a shitty mood today. And as Stephen Lee says, I don't Twitter. We'll never Twitter. It doesn't matter. It could be anywhere. They're posting lies, and they're saying it's news. Is there no difference between Occupy Democrats and the asshole Republicans who lie about every fucking thing? God, I'm just, yeah. So, what else? Oh, I got tons of stuff today. Let me tell you about my governor. Oh, we haven't played the song in a while.
Boy, all the day.
So, there was good news, sort of, in that a judge today in Florida said that death sentences, 15-week abortion ban, which was supposed to go into effect this Friday, cannot. It's been held up. Woo! Thank goodness for small favors. Great. Here, in a stinging defeat for the governor, a Florida judge said he will temporarily block a new law that would prohibit all abortions in the state after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The law, which provides no exceptions for victims of rape, incest, or human trafficking, was approved by the Republican-led legislature and signed into law by death sentence in April. The judge's decision comes as the nation grapples with how to move forward with reproductive rights in the aftermath of the Extreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. So that was good news. And then just a little while later, I see this news alert. You ready for this? The chief financial officer of the state of Florida, a man named Jimmy Patronis. There's something there. Okay. Jimmy Patronis. Notice, no, he's not a doctor. He's the chief financial officer of the state. He removed Dr. Lisa Gwynn from the board of Florida Healthy Kids. Florida Healthy Kids is Florida's state children's health insurance program. Remember SCHIP? Florida Healthy Kids is Florida's children's health insurance program. The chief financial officer for the state, Jimmy Patronis, removed Dr. Lisa Gwynn from the Florida Healthy Kids board, citing, quote, political statements that do not reflect the CFO's views. Excuse me? It went against this one man's view, so he removes a doctor from the board of the Florida State Children's Health Insurance Program? And what was the disagreement? Well, let me just read on for you, because it gets better. Quote, this was a quote from, I don't even know who this, okay. I am appalled. Oh, this is State Senator Tina Polsky. This is her response to this not doctor, removing a doctor from the board of Florida Healthy Kids. Tina Polsky said, I'm appalled at the decision of the CFO to oust Dr. Lisa Gwynn, the president of the Florida chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, an expert in pediatric care and vaccines, from the Florida Healthy Kids board because she spoke out against the administration in an effort to get her youngest, most vulnerable patients a life-saving vaccine. The tyranny of this administration continues to smother any dissenting opinions. All Floridians should know how an acclaimed doctor has been treated by the DeSantis regime. In case you don't recall, DeSatan, or death sentence, whatever you want to call him, not a doctor, and his Surgeon General, also not sure he's a doctor. He claims to have come from UCLA, where he says that he worked on their COVID first wave response. But nobody at UCLA knows who the fuck he is. They said he didn't work with us on COVID response. We don't know who he is. He also was at the press conference with that quack, that woman who Trump cited, the one who said there were like sex, alien sex demons or something. Yeah, the idiot who was, what was the name of them? The idiot who was pushing, not ivermectin, but hydroxychloroquine.
Demon sperm.
Demon sperm, thank you.
Wasn't Tina Polsky the senator who lapdog went in her office and would not wear a mask?
Yes, Tina Pawlowski, who was suffering from breast cancer, was undergoing chemotherapy for breast cancer, and Dr. Lapdog, Lapido, or whatever the fuck his name is, went into her office and refused to wear a mask and then laughed at her when she said that, you know, asked him to wear a mask because she was immunocompromised. She was undergoing chemo. So this science-denying administration and the chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronus, unilaterally remove the president of the Florida chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics from the board of Florida's Children's Health Insurance Plan because she spoke out and said, we need to be able to vaccinate our children. Now, the CDC and the FDA have both approved the vaccine for children 5 and under and approved it. They approved it and recommended it for kids 5 and under. But these non-doctors know better, don't you know? The tyranny of this administration continues to smother any dissenting opinions, no matter how educated or informed the opinion may be. If it is not in total agreement with the DeSatan administration, that person and their beliefs are canceled. That's the rest of the statement from Senator, State Senator Tina Pawlowski. This is disgusting. Just disgust. Just reprehensible. And if you don't think that this is a fascist state, and I'm not just talking about Florida, then you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. You know, and the denial of reality, you know, these idiots. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the phone lines are open, by the way, if you want to chime in. Howie Klein will be here. He's been off for the last 2 weeks because we've had hearings on Thursdays, but he'll be here today. You know, there was an election last night, primary day in Colorado, Illinois, New York, although New York, the congressional races have been delayed until August because of all the map drama there. So none of those races, especially with all the people vying for the same seats, that won't happen until the end of August. But Colorado, Illinois, Oklahoma, Utah, and there were runoffs in Mississippi and South Carolina. I want to talk about Illinois for a moment. Because 2 years ago, we did good. Progressive Marie Newman was elected and ousted in the primary Dan Lipinski, the worst member of the Democratic caucus in the House. Now, that honor probably goes to Henry Cuellar. You know, the guy who beat Jessica Cisneros, his progressive challenger, by less than 200 votes in the recount. And I would guess that Nancy Pelosi and Jim Clyburn's visits to the district to campaign for this anti-choice, pro-gun candidate, incumbent, shitty member of Congress, I would think their visits probably influenced maybe 200 people, maybe more, to vote for him when he should have been out on his ass years ago. So instead, we don't have Jessica Cisneros. Thanks so much, Nancy Pelosi. And then she goes on today after these Supreme Court rulings. Oh, we must embrace pro-choice candidates. Well, you know what, Nancy Pelosi? Fuck you. Fuck you very, very much. This is why we can't have nice things. And Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. You know what? I got to find the song. I just have the Shut the Fuck Up song handy, but I got to find. Here we go. All right. This is for you. My God. Talk about talking out of both sides of your ass. The Democratic Party leadership in the House, this is on them. And you wonder why we can't get anything done. Yes, I'm pissed off today. So Joe Biden, he's over in Spain, I guess, for this NATO summit that followed the G7 meetings that he was at. And he gave a press conference today. And hidden right there in the middle of this press conference, what was that you said, President Biden?
And on the domestic question, sir.
Yeah.
What further specific executive actions are you considering in response to the Roe ruling? And would you declare a public health emergency, as several Democrats are calling on you to do?
I'll be happy to go in detail with you on that. I'm having a meeting with a group of governors when I get home on Friday, and I'll have announcements to make then. But the first and foremost thing we should do is make it clear how outrageous this decision was and how much it impacts not just on a woman's right to choose, which is a critical, critical piece, but on privacy generally. On privacy generally.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be talking to the governors as to what actions they think I should be taking as well. And but the most important thing to be clear about is we have to change. I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be. We provide an exception for this. Require an exception to the filibuster for this action.
Whoa.
The Supreme Court decision.
Joe Biden just said we need a carve out in the filibuster for choice. But his bosses, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, said, No, we're not going to go there. We're going to let our party go down in flames. We're going to let our president's agenda fizzle out. We're going to let him go down as the biggest failure since Jimmy Carter. Because we have principles, don't you know? Hey, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the Supreme Court. Yes, I'm thrilled that Ketanji Brown Jackson is now on the court. But she didn't change the ideological makeup of the court. And by a vote of 6-3 today, the Supreme Court said, you're worried about climate change? Well, they don't care. Because they'll all be dead before the planet burns completely. It's already burning, right? So Neil Kochel, former Solicitor General of the United States, he was on TV this afternoon or this morning after that decision came down. Hey, Neil Kochel, tell us about the West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency ruling. How bad is that for the planet?
It is incredibly major. So it's an 89-page opinion, Jose. I've started to read it in the last 6 minutes. And I will say to you just everything that I've read so far, and obviously we'll have to study it more, suggests a major, major loss for climate regulation. I don't think it's right to think about it as a loss for Biden or anything. I think it's a loss of the federal government's ability to regulate climate change in a 6-3 fully throated decision by the Chief Justice. And just to give you a sense of dangerous and scary the decision is, let me read to you the last words of Justice Kagan's dissent today in the case.
Please.
She says, quote, the subject matter of the regulation
intervention
all the more troubling. Whatever else this court may know about, it does not have a clue about how to address climate change. And let's say the obvious, the stakes here are high. Yet the court prevents congressionally authorized agency action to curb carbon dioxide emissions. The court appoints itself instead of Congress or the expert agency, the decision maker on climate policy. I cannot think of many things more frightening. Respectfully, I dissent.
Yeah, I dissent too.
I think that tells us just how significant this decision is.
Just how significant that decision was. I'm sorry, caller. You're on the same pot on my board that the sound comes up on, so you can't hear it. So, sorry. Who's calling?
Hi, it's Sandra from San Diego.
Hey,
how
Sandra.
Are you doing?
I've had better days.
I know. Me too. There's a million things I'm pissed off about with these people, but I would say today that EPA ruling is actually a free abortion ruling if you live near a power plant, because we all know that that leads to abortion, and it actually aborts life, people, because it helps give you cancer and asthma and other problems. So actually, it was a free abortion ruling today.
Oh my God.
When it comes to that.
Unfortunately, yeah. We can't choose who's being aborted.
Exactly, and that's the problem. So now what people should do is use those the anti-abortion laws they passed to sue people for murdering your unborn child, since they keep telling us that it's a life from the time it's conceived.
Right. Which it isn't.
Well, here we go. Let's start suing them everywhere for all the polluting industries and shut them down, because that's what they're doing. They're causing abortion. And then another request I had from you is, can you start calling them banana Republicans?
Banana Republicans.
That's what they are. They're banana Republicans.
I'll try to remember to do that.
Because they've turned us, please. Everybody up there, please, because they're psycho.
Yeah.
And then they want to reinstitute the Fugitive Slave Act, except for now it's going to be the Fugitive Slave Fetus Act.
Right.
Because, you know, they're going to track you down and hunt you down and demand that states send you back.
Yeah.
If you are running away, if you're a runaway slave with a fetus in your body, they want to track you, hunt you, and demand your return, which actually led to the Civil War.
Yeah.
Because that was their big beef, was that some states were like, hey, we're not going to keep enforcing this because we don't believe in slavery.
Uh-huh.
So that's what propelled them, because they were like, oh, they don't want to return our property.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to like wisen up and wake up to the history. That's why they're doing what every dictator does, which is ban history and truth,
mm-hmm.
so that they can mythologize our history and pretend like, oh, we got here because all these non-white people were just horrible people. That's why they don't want to follow the law on anything.
And so, it's horrible. It's horrible. And yet they call. Yeah. They accuse us of doing what they're actually doing.
Exactly, because if you look at all the proposals, like even the proposal that the sweaty mess, what's his name, Marco, just put out, he's talking about putting more taxpayer money into Christian abortion, crisis centers, where they're trying to indoctrinate you, and also they're trying to guilt you into giving up your baby for adoption. So it's like really a baby mill.
Yeah,
these things are like baby mills. They're just, and then on top of that, the two entities, the Catholic Church, which I don't have a problem with Catholics, I have a problem with the people who run the churches.
Yeah,
and the stuff that came out about the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh yeah, yep.
Look at all the pedophilia.
It's all over, and it's not only in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's all over that church globally.
Exactly.
So get your own fucking house in order.
Exactly.
Catholics, don't tell me how to live my life.
Exactly, but these are the people who are pushing for our rights to be restricted, so that we become their forced surrogates, so that we're the factories that churn out these little babies, the fresh meat. That's why they don't care if it's a little 12-year-old girl getting raped, because
they're
like, well, they're not into 12-year-olds anymore. Once you hit puberty, they're not into you anymore. So they want
them
to turn out the next generation of victims.
You are correct.
So
Well, thank you. You and me both. So we're pissed off together. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for being the voice and giving this space to just, and all this information you give. You're amazing. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'm thankful for you, too. And especially because one of my moderators just quit. Diane Russell, who's been with me for years, doesn't like that I criticize Nancy Pelosi. You know what I say to that? Hold on. Let me go back to the other. You know what I say to that? What can I tell you? I put out a tweet. I said, Howie's back today. He'd been off for 2 weeks because of the hearings. He's back today, and I'm pissed off. And if you don't want to hear criticism of the toothless, ineffective Dems, then don't listen today. Oh, well. Sorry, Diane, I appreciate you being a moderator in my chat room, but if you can't stand criticisms of the Democrats when they deserve it, then you shouldn't be listening, because I don't carry water for anybody. I don't toe the party line. I don't put party against country, which is what those fucking Republicans do. I put the American people first. I put humans first. I put life first. They put money first. They put power first. Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. All right, it's also time for Howie. So, yeah. You know, I'll ask Howie about the whole Nancy Pelosi and Jim Clyburn. And I'm not sure if Steny Hoyer went to Texas and actually campaigned for Henry Cuellar, the worst Democrat in the House. He's not a Democrat. The Republican in the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives, who is against your right to choose. He thinks the Supreme Court ruled the right way. So our speaker went to campaign for him when there was a progressive within striking distance who would have won had she and he not campaigned there. Fuck them. And if my language today offends you, I'm really sorry. You should go listen to somebody who doesn't curse. Okay, with that, I need a double. I need a triple Dirty Debbie today. Whose turn is it? Oh my God. Dirty Debbie, she's talking bad about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, no! Oh, no!
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie.
Hey, Nicole.
I hope you... If you had listened to the first half hour of the show, you'd know. Yeah, you sound in a lot better place than I am. I'm pissed. I'm just really fucking pissed. I'm pissed off about all of it. I'm pissed off about the Supreme Court because Obama should have done something to stop them from stealing it. For a year, Mitch McConnell wouldn't let Obama, the sitting president's candidate nominee, even have a hearing. They wouldn't meet with him. It's just so one-sided, and I'm just so sick of it. And what I was railing about a moment ago was the fact that, you know, we're watching our rights disappear by the second because of the extreme court, no longer supreme. They're now extreme. And they're ruling, overturning Roe v. Wade. And yet Nancy Pelosi and Jim Clyburn and who knows who all else from leadership went to Texas to campaign for the anti-choice, pro-gun Republican who caucuses with Democrats in the House over Jessica Cisneros, a progressive who could have won. She came within 200 votes. I'm pissed.
Yep.
Yeah. And it happened again last night, didn't it? What happened in Illinois with Marie Newman? Or Tuesday night, sorry.
Yeah, so the Democratic Majority for Israel, DMFI, which is related to AIPAC. It's not part of AIPAC,
yep,
but it's kind of the same bunch of creeps. They take Republican money, lots and lots of it, and
yep,
put it into Democratic primaries. And they put tons of money, against Marie Newman. And she was in a incumbent versus incumbent battle against a new Dem named Sean Casten, and they backed him.
And that was
where the money came from. I mean, they spent more money than the candidates did, and they wanted Marie out, and they got their way.
And so, again, this pack is led by Democrats who took Republican money and pro-Israel money, and I believe Hakeem Jeffries is affiliated with this PAC, is he not?
Yes,
right.
He doesn't cop to it, but yes,
yeah. Yep.
So, and the thing is, you were just talking about Jessica Cisneros. They also spent millions of dollars, like millions of dollars, smearing her with complete lies that have nothing to do with reality. That's what they do. They just make up anything they want to make up, and they run ads and send mailers with those lies. And there's nothing a candidate can do about it. I mean, there's no way to fight back.
Wow.
They don't win all of their races. Summer Lee succeeded, and she's going to be a congresswoman.
Awesome.
And they attacked her with huge amounts of money. And Tuesday night, Delia Ramirez in the district right next to Marie Newman's, they did the same thing to her. They didn't spend as much money. It wasn't millions and millions, but it was hundreds of thousands. And they failed. They were unable to defeat her. So, I'm sure the message that they get from that and that Hakeem Jeffries gets from that is spend more money.
Yeah.
Defeat these progressives. I mean, he is doing everything he can to get progressives out of Congress. The next two up that they're trying to defeat are Rashida Tlaib in Detroit and Andy Levin just north of there.
In
so
Michigan,
two Michigan
right?
Democrats. Andy's got the single most progressive record in the whole Congress, and they don't want him in.
Wow.
And he's running against a New Dem. And Rashida, they're running some conservative establishment
well, of
type
course they
against
are.
Her
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, right. They obviously don't like her. She's the wrong religion for them, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just the wrong religion. I mean, she is a Palestinian. She is the first American Palestinian to be elected to Congress. She's an American. She's born in the U.S., but to them, she's a Palestinian, which is a big no-no. So they're going to try to defeat her. Bernie endorsed both of them, I think, yesterday.
Good for him. Yeah. To say I'm disillusioned is an understatement. So, that's why when I saw your post that just went up this afternoon or earlier today, Howie, I just had to go, yep. So the headline reads, ever get the idea Biden is just fine governing in conjunction with Manchin and McConnell?
Yeah, I think that a lot, as a matter of fact, that he, that Manchin is more like an excuse for him and McConnell as well. And he... he's a lifelong conservative. He started out in the early 1970s as the spokesperson against integration. And he is, he's Mr. Anti-Busing. And he's absolutely awful. He's the president now, and he talks a relatively good line, but we never see anything come of it. I mean, he campaigned on things, things that were kind of moderate that I wasn't nuts about, like, lowering the age for Medicare from 65 to 60. It's not what I would do, but
right.
I would.
At least it was something,
parole.
Right?
It's better than nothing.
Right.
But do you ever hear anyone mention it again?
No.
I mean, he's the president now. He campaigned on it.
I know.
Not a mention. Nothing.
Well, there was supposed to be a public option, at least a public option. If we weren't going to get Medicare for all, there was at least going to be a public option. That disappeared, too.
Yep, all of it. And right down the memory hole.
The voting rights. I mean, that was the number one priority. It was HR1. We were going to fix voting rights. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. We know Build Back Better didn't happen because, well, there's Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. What are you going to do? You do something. You say West Virginia, you like those bridges you got there? You want some of this infrastructure money because you passed the BIF? Well, work with us here. Instead, and as far as I know, they're not just caucusing with the Democrats. They both have D's next to their names, not like Bernie Sanders and Angus King, who are independents caucusing with the Democrats. Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin both claim to be Democrats, yet they are actively doing whatever they can to tank the agenda of the Democratic Party to make sure they fail.
And especially in the case of Kyrsten Sinema, the Democratic Party financed her career. So, now she feels she doesn't need them anymore because she has corporate financing. But, she's in Congress because, first of all, Schumer picked her and cleared the field for her.
Yep.
And then financed her campaign.
And then financed her campaign. Sorry, it cut out. So I just wanted to make sure people heard that. Yeah, she, you know, just like she supported Henry Cuellar. Now, I get that, you know, I have problems with the Progressive Caucus as a caucus endorsing any incumbent who's a member of the caucus, even if they're not really progressive. I have a problem with that. But apparently they don't. And she went above and beyond that and went to the district and campaigns for the guy. Again, you can't have it both ways. And so we get way.
That just now. You cut out, and I didn't hear who.
I heard the whole spiel, but I didn't hear who you're talking about.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi.
Yes.
She's not part of the Progressive Caucus.
Well, I know she's not. But in the same way that the Progressive Caucus, by process, just automatically endorses anybody who's a member who's running for re-election, even if they're not really progressive, but they're members of the caucus, so they pay up every year.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that includes New Dems, because they allow New Dems into the caucus.
Right.
So they'll sometimes be a New Dem running against a progressive, and there would be some of them who support the – I mean, even – what's his name? Mark Pocan, who was the co-chair at the time and is now the co-chair of their PAC.
Right.
He went down to Orlando to campaign against Alan Grayson when Alan was running against a New Dem named Darren Soto.
Right.
And, you know, because Pocan is openly gay, where does he go to campaign? To gay bars, telling these guys and women that Soto is their guy, which is insane. I mean, when you think of Alan Grayson and, you know, the difference between Alan Grayson and Darren Soto, is, mm-hmm. it's like the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And then...
In fact, didn't Pocan tell you that this is the reason why I don't like him?
Yeah, yeah, that...
He did, but it's not true. I mean, no. I didn't like him long before that.
I know.
And for more reasons than that.
I hear you. So my rant today, Howie, is aimed at the Democrats because they've screwed up left, right, and every which way. And then I go on Twitter, which, you know, I know it's a bad habit, but what the fuck? There's a group called Occupy Democrats who I thought was decent. I thought they were doing good work, but today,
they do good art. That's for sure.
They do good art. Well, they're tweeting out, and I just despise the term, and so I won't say it. But they're tweeting out lies, couching it, saying that they are a news organization, and they tweet out this piece today. 35 minutes ago, actually, it says, Mitch McConnell, breaking, Mitch McConnell announces that he will sabotage, well, oh, this is new, that he will sabotage America's efforts to compete against China by scuttling the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act if Democrats move to cap drug prices, fight climate change, and tax the super rich. Okay, no, I just saw this. This is new. So I haven't had a chance to research that. But based on their earlier tweet, I think they made it up. Because just an hour or two earlier, they tweeted, breaking news, Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell announces that he will resign if he doesn't become Senate Majority Leader after November's midterm election. And then they, in all caps, say, retweet if you would love to see Mitch McConnell resign. Well, I looked everywhere for that story, and I asked Occupy Democrats, really, if this is true, proof, where did you get this? Give me the source. And they've, of course, ignored me because it's not true. They made it up. This makes us as bad as they are. That's not okay.
You know, I've heard that rumor, but it's just a rumor. I mean, I've never seen it reported as news.
Right. They're saying breaking news. Mitch McConnell announces that he will resign if he doesn't become Senate Majority Leader. Really? Show me where.
Yeah, that's very odd.
Pisses me off. In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, really. I don't know anything about that group, except their artwork is really good, and I tend to use a lot of it.
Well, good. I hope you don't pay them for it. because this is what they do. This is what the Republicans do. They lie and their members swear to it. We're supposed to be better than that. And they're making shit up like this, like we don't have enough stuff to throw out there to make people, get people riled up to realize that Mitch McConnell's a bad guy?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, we don't know. Maybe one of them ran into, a Senate staffer in Washington who told them that.
Well, then clarify that. And again, that doesn't make it a news story because, frankly, if they call themselves a news organization, any respectable news organization has not just two, but three corroborating sources before they go to press with something. He's not citing anything. And then I ask them, where did this come from? Crickets. So I'm just trying to keep people honest. I don't want us to do the same crap that the Republicans do. We're supposed to be better than that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're not. We're really not.
Well, they're really not.
That's true. They're really not. So I'm going to call them out. And you saw what I wrote on Twitter. I'm in a mood today. And if you don't want to hear criticism of the feckless, ineffectual Democrats, then don't listen. And already, I had a moderator leave today because I criticized Nancy Pelosi.
Moderator of your site?
A moderator of my chat room. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Because, see, some people think that if you criticize the Democrats, that you are going to make people not vote for them, that you're going to make people vote for Republicans. That's what I don't get. So back in the day when I would
not vote at all.
Or not vote at all. Well, that's possible. But they're not going to do it because of me. And if anybody changes their vote or doesn't vote because of something I said, shame on them. Do your homework. Read up. See,
and you're not. It's not like you're lying and making up stories. You're talking about real things.
Yes, I
that
am.
People ought to know.
That's right.
And we're in primary season right now.
Yes, we are. And I hope people, anything I say, if it pisses you off, double check. Go online. We have the internet. We have the world at our fingertips. You can fact check anything I say. And if you think that just doesn't sound right, research it. Make up your own mind. Don't believe me. I'll give you information. It's your duty to double check what I say. And if you agree with me, great. If you don't, hey, welcome to America. We're allowed to have a difference of opinion. But if you're telling me that I can't criticize my own party when they do something that I consider to be really wrong or ineffective or not good enough, sorry, that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
I would think a moderator wouldn't be a low-information voter.
She's not.
I'm assuming that what she got angry about is you talking about Nancy going to Texas and campaigning for Cuellar, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So shouldn't she know that?
Yeah. And she does. But she thinks... Okay, as there was somebody else in the chat room, too, who said Cisneros wasn't polling well. She was polling well enough to have to go into a recount because she and Henry Cuellar were only separated by less than 200 votes. So obviously she was polling well enough.
She was. Her polling wasn't through the roof. But polling, is only accurate. It's not like accurate to the point. It's got a 3, 4, 5 degree of accuracy. And so, the thing is that it never looked like she was going to have a landslide against him. It looked like it was going to be very, very close. And that's when Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, Clyburn went down there and made a big speech. That's when they all got together and said, we got to bolster Cuellar. They all gave him money.
Yep.
And they did everything they could to prevent this progressive young woman from being elected. And I'm certain that their efforts certainly were worth 200 votes. I mean, they didn't go down there because, they can't deliver just a few hundred votes. And they did.
Yep, they did.
And that's why we have a really vile anti-choice Democrat who is also, beloved of the NRA and gets an A rating. The only Democrat
that's the other part of it. And this was after the shooting at Uvalde. This was after 19 children were murdered in their classroom, that Henry Cuellar still says, guns, yeah, baby, guns, applauded the Supreme Court decision, and they're campaigning for him.
Yep, and against someone. Yes, it's for him, but it's also against someone else.
Right.
These issues don't mean much to them. What they mean to them, and I cover this in that story you referred to, is an opportunity to campaign against Republicans. So on the same day that they could be campaigning for Henry Cuellar, they can be writing emails talking about the horrible Republicans doing the exact same thing that Henry Cuellar does, blaming Uvalde on Republicans, but giving Cuellar checks and a pass is not even the word for what they did. They literally did everything they could to make sure he was reelected.
Yeah, I hear you.
So the hypocrites.
I hear you. I hear you.
But, you know, and unfortunately what's going to happen now, the good part is that Pelosi is going to leave. The bad part is that she has absolutely engineered it so that someone actually worse than her, like really worse than her, like a lot worse than her, is going to take over.
Okay, now her daughter. Now, I've met Chris.
No? Kim Jeffries.
Speaker. I got you. Okay, because I was going to say, Christine Pelosi, I know and I kind of like, though I've never known her in office. Okay.
I'm talking about Hakeem Jeffries.
Hakeem Jeffries, who is worse than her, because he'll look you in, because he's a member of the Progressive Caucus, just so he
not
can
really.
infiltrate.
Never goes to
right.
it, doesn't vote, doesn't have anything to do with it. He's, in fact, trying to destroy the careers of several members.
That's right.
One of which he just did destroy on Tuesday, Marie Newman. Yeah, he just is there so he can say, or that people can say, look, he's a member of the Progressive
yeah,
Caucus.
Exactly. While he can stab them in the back.
Right.
Right. So people need
and
to know.
I don't see them fighting much either, by the way. I mean, you know, I don't think they realize that if these AIPAC people and Hakeem Jeffries get away with, kicking Marie Newman out of Congress, Rashida out of Congress, Levin out of Congress,
yep.
they're all going to be
out of Congress.
Targeted.
They're all going to be out of Congress because they're not going to do what the people want them to do. Look at the polling. The support is for those progressive policies that they're helping to kill.
Right.
Is that accurate? I mean, yeah. They're the ones who are working against the progressive that when Joe Biden took office, said he was going to do all these things, raise the minimum wage. That didn't happen. He never said he'd erase student debt, but he said he'd do something. Nothing's happened. The Supreme Court, which could be fixed, they could add more seats. Joe Biden says, no, I'm not for that. Well,
many times over American history.
Yes.
So it's not like, oh my God, they're going to do something that breaks the Constitution. Well, it's not even mentioned in the Constitution. The number 9 just happens to be where we're at now. It could be brought down to 5. It could be brought up to 20.
But also,
There's no reason why it's 9.
You know why it was 9? It was made 9 when there were 9 district courts. So there's one Supreme Court justice is assigned to each district so that when there's an emergency thing, that's the justice who has to oversee that case. Well, since that time, they've added more and there are now 13 district courts around the country. There should be 13 seats on the Supreme Court.
Amen.
So it's a no-brainer, and it doesn't even have to pass Congress. That's something Joe Biden can do with a stroke of a pen, and he, through his spokesperson, said, no, I'm not in favor of that. Well, thank you very much.
And did his spokesperson say why he's not in favor of it?
No, he's just not in favor of that. Just like he wasn't in favor of doing anything about the filibuster until today. And he says, oh, we need a carve-out in the filibuster for choice. You think?
Right, for one vote only,
yeah.
One time.
Yep.
One time, insane.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was having one of those days before the show started. Frankly, it's easier for me to get mad, because if I'm not screaming and angry, I'd be crying, which I've been a lot this week. So, you know, I'm seeing this country, you know, I read something in my news reports. This extreme court in the last 10 days changed this government more than any administration has been able to in the last number of decades. I got to see if I can find this actual quote because it was stunning. But that's basically what it said. More changes in the last 10 days to this country by this court than any administration's been able to do in decades.
So let me ask you a no question.
Okay.
Would you wish death on the six of them?
Would I wish death on them? I would wish that maybe they'd get COVID so bad they couldn't serve anymore. I don't like wishing death on anybody except Rush Limbaugh. Privately, I might. Publicly, I probably wouldn't.
No, forget privately, publicly. I just meant in your
own. You know
own,
what?
In your own.
Amy Coney Barrett, I wish she'd dropped
dead.
Bet you
go out and find one of them and shoot them. I'm not
advocating
that someone do that.
I'm not violent.
Your but, own conversation with God in your mind.
Well, I don't believe in a God. So, you know, but do I
have
wish.
Those conversations? You never, like, wish that the airplane arrive safely that you get on?
But not to God. Maybe, you know, the universe. Or I don't believe in some all-powerful being up in the sky. I just don't. But do I ever, you know, think, God, I wish this person would get their shit together or would somehow be taken out
eliminated.
Of the conversation. Yes. And do I feel that way about Amy Coney Barrett and Brett I Love Beer Kavanaugh and Neil I'm a Fucking Liar Gorsuch? Damn straight. And they can take John Roberts with them too. And there's a special place in hell for Clarence Thomas.
Boom.
There you go.
What about his wife?
Oh, God. Yeah. She's already there. What they're waiting for, why this woman hasn't been subpoenaed. They asked her to come. Now, she last week said, oh, I'm looking forward to it. Now she changed her tune. Now I need more justification why they want me to talk. What do I don't know anything. Fuck you, Ginny Thomas, you piece of shit.
Boom.
Boom. And someone's telling me it's karma. Okay. Well, yeah, karma. Karma has to come back to these people.
Discuss Loving versus Virginia.
Oh, my God.
You know that ruling?
Yes. And that's what cleared the way for interracial marriage. And how interesting is it that Clarence Thomas cites contraception and same-sex marriage as being sort of, you know, byproducts of Roe. Well, the other one that he conveniently left out is Loving versus Virginia, that gave him the right to marry his white trash wife. And he left that one out. Oh, David's here. David, yes?
May I ask Mr. Klein a question, please?
Howie, David?
Howie, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
For some reason, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking maybe I'm wrong because maybe my memory's failing me, but wasn't there a progressive candidate in the last, let's say, decade who the establishment, let's call them, campaigned against, and he won the primary anyway, and then they backed the other candidate who ran against him as a independent? Am I thinking wrong about that, or was there actually a case like that? For some reason,
I suspect that you're thinking about Ned Lamont and a Senate race.
And Joe Lieberman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. You nailed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
So the thing is that there was a split in the Democratic Party after they all were on Lieberman's side during the primary. Lamont beat him anyway. And Lamont, by the way, ran as a progressive, and he did become governor, and he's not quite as progressive as he ran on.
Right.
But he's okay.
Yep.
He's much better than Lieberman.
That's not saying much.
He's better now, and there's a race for Senate that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, Lieberman ran on the Joe Lieberman party. He started his own party and ran, and a lot of the more conservative Democrats. Now, the Democratic establishment sort of like pretended that they were for Lamont. They didn't endorse Lieberman. The ones who have titles and stuff and who are very, very well known. They didn't really help Lamont, but they didn't go as far as backing Lieberman after the party endorsed Lamont.
Right. No, I do.
Many Democrats did. I mean, very concerned. I wouldn't be surprised if Biden did. I don't know. I can't remember. But the Democrats in the Senate like Biden, the very conservative Democrats, they backed Lieberman.
Right. Yeah, I know. I vaguely remember it. That wasn't a fun time either. I don't know about you, but I'm not really having fun these days. Watching this country devolve into an embarrassment. It was bad enough during the Trump years, and now it's just a comedy of errors because there's the old saying, the Democrats will always pull defeat from the jaws of victory every fucking time. And they're doing it again. There's no reason that we should be upside down right now. The Democrats. There's no reason that they should be in this position other than COVID and the world economy.
Democrat, how could they expect not? I mean, you can't expect anything from Biden. That's who he is. That's who he's been since the 1970s. It's not like he suddenly turned into a conservative. He's always been a conservative.
Yeah.
When I say that he was the voice of segregation and that he was, when he first ran for Senate, he was only known for one thing, being against busing. He ran. That was his issue. He was against busing. And people don't remember that. I mean, I don't know that Jim Clyburn remembered that when he endorsed him and changed the whole course of the election. But that's who Biden is.
Right. Well, the thing I remember about Biden is the horrible bankruptcy bill where they made sure that your credit card debt, if you file bankruptcy, couldn't be discharged because the credit card industry is based in Delaware because of the tax advantages. Oh, my God. He was on the side of the banks and the credit cards and their usurious interest rates that they charge you, which, by the way, are going up again, on the wrong side. Because the credit card industry is based in Delaware. That's my memory of Joe Biden. So, right.
Well,
anyway.
Joe Biden has bragged that he hates progressives and had to toe the line sometimes, but just really hates progressives and progressivism. And that's how he was for the whole time he was in the Senate. That's who he was. That's how he was. When he could get away with doing crap, which was often, he would do it. He was a bad guy. He was definitely a bad guy. And I kept saying that all during the 2020 campaign. It's why I never voted for the guy. I mean, do I think Trump is the most dangerous person who's ever been president and the most heinous?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, without a doubt. This has nothing to do with Biden. It's a separate issue. Just because we're not happy with Joe doesn't mean that Trump is acceptable. Trump was Donald Trump. Enough said. That's the embarrassment. The fact that we're continuing to spiral and this country is so divided and so many people voted for that man. And the fact that those were our two choices. I mean, that's enough to make anyone suicidal. And I guess that's where we should leave it because I'm just going to get angrier and angrier. It's not getting us anywhere. I really didn't mean for this to be a bash the Democrats day, but I started off. Did you hear what moron death sentence did this time?
Tell me. I mean, I hear a lot of things that he does.
Okay. He was the only governor in every state who did not order any vaccines for children five and under, right? And then he came out and said, Ron, not a doctor, Satan, said, I'm not in favor of vaccinating children. It's not good for them. It's harmful. Well, when did he go to medical school? He didn't. And his idiot Surgeon General is not much better. Today, the chief financial officer of the state of Florida, who's also not a doctor, booted the Dr. Lisa Gwynn off of the Florida Healthy Kids Board. Florida Healthy Kids is the Florida State Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP. He booted her. She is the president of the Florida chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. She's an expert in pediatric care and vaccines. The CFO booted her from the board because she spoke out against the administration in an effort to get her youngest, most vulnerable patients the vaccine. And what he said was she was let go from the board because she made political statements that do not reflect the CFO's views. Excuse me? The CFO, a man named Jimmy Patronus. Are you kidding me? Not kidding. This, and people are talking about this idiot, DeSantis, becoming president. I mean, Donald Trump wasn't batshit fucking crazy enough for you. Joe Rogan yesterday said, oh, Ron DeSantis, he'd be a great president. He's done such a great job for Florida.
Oh, how awful.
Yes.
Yep.
Awful.
It's being up a lot, and people who don't follow the news closely, which, you know, is over 90% of the people, they're just hearing that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And thinking, okay, he's my guy. I can better
I guess
than Trump.
He's good. His approval, he's got sky-high approval ratings among Democrats. Go out into the state. Talk to people. I mean, among Republicans. Sorry, my brain is fried. Among Republicans, among Democrats, they feel like I do because he's killing us. So, anyway, that shows me I should wrap this up. Howie Klein, thank you for bearing with me today. I know I'm sometimes not the easiest person. I appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you, and I'll see you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com. When you're there, go on the Blue America Pack page, because he and Blue America find the best progressive candidates. We are in primary season. This is when we can get progressives on the ballot in the general. The Republicans are nominating their most batshit crazy people. Their most extreme, you know, Marjorie Taylor Q Green type people. Lauren Boebert killed in her district because it's an R plus 15 district. They're putting up the craziest of the crazies. We can beat them with real progressives. And if you want to motivate young people to get out and vote, give them someone and something to vote for. Henry Cuellar isn't it. Jessica Cisneros is. Sean Casten in Illinois isn't it. Marie Newman was. We're going to blow it, people, and we have a chance not to. Please vote, and please vote progressive. All right, tomorrow, I know today was a shit show. I apologize. Tomorrow is the Friday before the 4th of July weekend. We're going to lighten it up. We enjoy our parody songs, right? I know you guys in the chat room really enjoy Lauren Mayer, as do I. Lauren is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to have fun with the news, with her songs, and we're going to laugh. And I'm going to try not to yell. I'm going to try not to cry. I'm going to try not to curse. I'm going to try not to be so upset. And the Supreme Court has done fucking us up for, you know, the rest of this year anyway, so, or at least until October. So we've got that going for us. All right. With that, I'm going to go. I'll leave you with the news. And if, you know, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be fun. Promise, it'll be nothing like today. Okay? All right. Okay. Thanks. Sorry. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Supreme Court Thursday morning ended its quite controversial term when it released its final two decisions. First up was West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency. Written by Chief Justice John Roberts, it was another 6-3 decision along ideological lines. And this time, the court ruled that the Clean Air Act does not give the EPA broad authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants that contribute to global warming. Oh, my God. Here's what former Solicitor General of the United States, Neil Katyal, had to say about that decision.
It is incredibly major. It's an 89-page opinion. I've started to read it in the last 6 minutes. Everything that I've read so far suggests a major, major loss for climate regulation. I don't think it's right to think about it as a loss for Biden or anything. I think it's a loss of the federal government's ability to regulate climate change in a 6-3 fully throated decision by the Chief Justice. And just to give you a sense of how dangerous and scary the decision is, let me read to you the last words of Justice Kagan's dissent today in the case. She says, quote, "The subject matter of the regulation here makes the court's intervention all the more troubling. Whatever else this court may know about, it does not have a clue about how to address climate change. And let's say the obvious, the stakes here are high. Yet the court prevents congressionally authorized agency action to curb carbon dioxide emissions. The court appoints itself instead of Congress or the expert agency, the decision maker on climate policy. I cannot think of many things more frightening. Respectfully, I dissent." I think that tells us just how significant this decision is.
Lovely. Now you can get shot anywhere by anyone carrying a concealed weapon while you're carrying your rapist or brother or father's baby to term against your will. Welcome to America. Then the final opinion of the term, also by Chief Justice Roberts, but this one, a bit of a surprise. It was 5-4 with Brett Kavanaugh surprisingly joining Roberts and the liberals. The case was Biden versus Texas, and a question was whether or not President Biden could end the so-called Remain in Mexico immigration policy put in place by the former guy. And the court ruled that Biden did not violate rules when he tried to shut down Trump's Remain in Mexico program, and the ruling allows the administration to move forward with their plans. Shocker. And now, Justice Stephen Breyer, as of noon today, has retired. That clears the way for Ketanji Brown Jackson to become the first black woman on the nation's highest court. She's officially sworn in as of noon today, Thursday, June 30th, 2022. But you got to look back on this term. The court has managed to rewrite as much American law as any Congress or any presidency in recent memory over the last 10 days alone. And if you listen to Clarence Thomas, next term could be even worse. And before the court officially ended for the term, they announced that the court will hear Moore versus Harper. That's a case that could concentrate an unprecedented amount of power in gerrymandered state legislatures. Ian Millhiser writing at Vox, the case is perhaps the gravest threat to American democracy since the January 6th attack. It seeks to reinstate gerrymandered congressional maps that were struck down by North Carolina's highest court because they, quote, subordinated traditional neutral redistricting criteria in favor of extreme partisan advantage for the Republican Party. Can't wait. Moving on. Before leaving Europe, heading back to the U.S. after the G7 and NATO summits, President Biden held a press conference. And in it, he said he would support a carve-out in the filibuster to codify abortion rights.
I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be, we provide an exception for this. They require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
No shock here. Kyrsten Sinema already said no, because of course she did. Stay tuned. Breaking news from the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. They've now subpoenaed former White House counsel Pat Cipollone to discuss legal concerns he had raised about the former guy's activities on January 6th and in the days that preceded. The subpoena came a day after Cassidy Hutchinson, former executive assistant to the White House chief of staff, told the committee that Cipollone had warned White House officials that they would, quote, get charged with every crime imaginable if they let Trump accompany his supporters to the Capitol on January 6th. Then there's Ginni Thomas. We were just talking about the Supreme Court. Well, a lawyer for conservative activist and wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, Ginni Thomas, sent a letter to the House January 6th committee asking for a better justification for having her testify before the panel. Just a couple of weeks ago, she said that she, quote, looks forward to the opportunity. Yeah, I wonder what changed, Ginny. President Biden is now on his way home from the NATO meetings, which followed the G7 summit. NATO yesterday formally invited Finland and Sweden to join the alliance, launching a months-long ratification process. Turkey on Tuesday had agreed to drop its opposition to the expansion after resolving its differences with those two nations over their support for Kurdish rebels that Turkey considers terrorists. They're not terrorists. And we learned that the U.S. will now station troops permanently in Poland for the first time as part of its biggest European military expansion since the Cold War. Biden said, "We're stepping up. We're proving that NATO is more needed now than it ever has been." Wow. The U.S. moved to expand its presence in the region with more troops, fighter aircraft, air defense systems, and Navy ships came after NATO announced plans to increase the number of troops on high alert from 40,000 to 300,000 in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Biden said the U.S. would, quote, respond to the changed security environment to defend every inch of allied territory. Here we go again. And it's on again in Israel. Seriously, the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, has voted to dissolve itself, triggering what will be the fifth round of elections for Israelis in less than 4 years. And yes, it gives their former guy, Netanyahu, a path to return to power. The new elections will be held on November 1st. I'd say things can't get much worse, but I don't want to jinx it. So I'll just say, that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.